Well, I was just mentioning to Gene right after Sunday school, it is interesting how these lessons are hitting what I'm preaching on, but from a different scripture. It's interesting how God just orchestrates all that. But today, I want to begin by just asking you to imagine, if you will, standing in a vast ancient theater, the sound of thousands of voices rising in praise. And at the center of it all is a man who dared to trust in God when no one else would. Picture this. Hezekiah, a king, unknown to many of us, but a pivotal figure in the history of God's people. He wasn't just another name in a list of rulers. He was a beacon of faith in a time of darkness. Have you ever wondered what sets someone apart as a true leader? One that stands out in the pages of history. Today, as we delve into 2 Kings, and we'll be in 2 Chronicles also, because those, if you've ever went through and read Kings and Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it tells about the different kings. Who they were, whether they were a good king or a bad king, one that worshiped idols or one that served God and worshiped God. So today we're going to be in 2 Kings 18, 1 through 5, and we're going to discover what made Hezekiah the greatest king of Judah, a man who trusted in the Lord like no other. Let's explore the profound lessons his life offers us today. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. And I'll be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 2 through 10 first. Second Chronicles chapter 31, verses 2 through 10. Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. The king contributed from his own possessions for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and for the burnt offerings on the Sabbaths, at the new moons, and at the appointed festivals, as written in the law of the Lord. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and Levites, so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel. Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the heaps, and Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, "Since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare, because the Lord has blessed his people, and this great amount is left over." Now let's turn to 2 Kings 18, 1 through 5. 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 5. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, and how you speak to us through it, how you lead us in our lives, Father God, with it. And Father, I just ask today that you would just pierce each one of our hearts with it, Lord. Lord, that lives may be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's go ahead and begin by taking a quick journey back in time. Imagine a timeline that starts with Joshua leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. For four centuries, they were guided by judges until they desired a king to rule over them. Saul was appointed but soon failed. Then came David, the shepherd boy, who slew Goliath and became a beloved king, followed by his wise son Solomon. The kingdom split into the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was Judah. This division led to a series of kings, many of whom turned away from God. This brings us to Hezekiah, reigning 700 years after Joshua and 700 years before Christ's birth, a king committed to leading his people back to God. Think of a family heirloom for a minute, passed down through generations. Once lost amidst the clutter of everyday life, suddenly, someone discovers it, cleans it up, and restores it to its former glory. Hezekiah did just that with the temple and worship practices, realizing that communal worship was essential for his people's spiritual revival. Now, Hezekiah understood that to bring the people back to God, he had to start with the temple. Worship is rarely a solitary activity. God calls us to worship together, creating a powerful synergy and accountability among believers. Hezekiah organized the priests and Levites, making sure everything was in place for sacrifices and worship. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 2 through 4, we see the practical steps that he took to revive temple worship, starting with his own contribution and then requiring the people to bring their offerings. Now consider this for a minute. A symphony orchestra. Each musician essential to creating a harmonious sound. If one person doesn't play their part, the entire performance suffers. Similarly, each of us is vital to the church's mission, contributing our resources and our talents to create something beautiful for God. Now, Hezekiah knew the temple's restoration wasn't just a spiritual endeavor, but also a practical one. The people needed to support the priest and the Levites financially. This giving wasn't optional. It was required, reflecting a deep understanding of their responsibility to God and each other. You know, we have a lot of times, every third Sunday of the month, we have a potluck, right? Everyone brings a dish, contributing to a feast that no one could create alone. And if one person doesn't bring their share, everyone misses out. Okay? Our giving works the same way. Ensuring the church can thrive and fulfill its mission. I just want to take a little time here to insert this. We had a work and witness team here from Pennsylvania. From McConnellstown, Pennsylvania. They gave $10,000. Not only did they give $10,000, when that team came up here to work and give of their talents and their time, then they also gave extra, because there was extra things bought that I didn't get to see the receipts for. They bought different items of materials and probably some tools and things like that. They got a drywall square that we didn't have. We didn't have that. So they went and bought one. That's called being selfless. That's called being focused on the greater mission of the church. They weren't self-centered. They weren't saying, oh, wait a second. No, I don't know if I could do that. I got this payment coming up this next month, and I don't think I can afford that. They were focused on the church. And the church, our church here, we had to make some decisions fast. Because there were, I don't know about you, but you guys have noticed an increase in prices, right? I mean, maybe you haven't, but I have. Especially wood. Wood is not cheap these days. Building materials are not cheap. When I went and picked these things up, you know, I got the discount, my military discount, which praise God for that. But it's still expensive. It's not cheap. We had to make some decisions as a board because things were going a little over budget. And to accomplish what needed to be accomplished to make the downstairs look like it looks right now. And, you know, praise God, everyone came together. We made a decision to go ahead and go over by 2,500. But the thing is, that money has to come from somewhere. And so what I'm going to ask today, what I'm going to challenge you guys with, this is on our plates here. We have a winter coming up. Guess what happens in wintertime? It gets cold, right? What else happens? Our fuel prices go up, don't they? And fuel hasn't gone really dramatically down lately. I mean, it keeps going like this. So it's uncertain what it's going to cost. And we need to get a new boiler. People have given to that new boiler. And I'm going to continue to challenge you through this PFD to give again to that new boiler. Because when I got the estimate for that boiler, that was about 2 or 3 years ago. And I guarantee you, it's probably gone up at least a couple thousand. So my job now is to go get two estimates for a new boiler. We're going to need to get this done. It probably won't happen this winter, but I am focused on trying to get this done next year. Not through a working witness team, but through the church and the sacrificial giving that the church does. It's going to be tough. But I believe that the Lord, with the Lord leading, that we can do this. You know, we've went through some financial times. When I got here, I was receiving a full salary. And of course, the parsonage is provided for us to live, praise God. I'm very grateful for that. But times have changed financially. I'm not receiving a salary anymore. Prices have increased. Pastor's not receiving a salary. I'm not, you know, praise the Lord, we still have the parsonage, but I'm even thinking beyond that. My wife, praise God, still has a job. We've talked about it, possibility of moving out and renting the parsonage out. That's our next step. Right now, you know, there's not a whole lot of choices that we have. I've prayed about this. I've asked God's leading in this. And I think that there's going to be a time. I mean, there's a time coming when I'm going back to work. It'll be this year, guaranteed. After I get back from vacation, I will be getting another job. I don't see this as a job. I see this as a as more of God's calling, but going to get a paycheck so that we can pay the bills. But this comes down to where everybody as a team need to come together, ask the Lord, I mean, fully submit to Him. We talked about heart surrender this morning, being fully submitted. Mary, the one that poured the perfume on this, on Christ at the table. And then Judas saying, what's she doing that for? That stuff's expensive. She don't need to be wasting that stuff on him. Wait a second here. Who do we serve? We serve Jesus. He is the one that sacrificed his life so that we can have eternal life. Right? Why would we not give our best? And I'm not saying 10%. I'm not saying 15%. I'm not even saying 20%. But what is it that the Lord is putting on your heart to give? You see, offering time is a part of worship. What she was doing was worshiping her God. There was nothing wrong with what she was doing. That was a heart surrender. She was doing that in total submission. You know, and I sometimes think that when we come to church, you know, we've got our checks already written out, or maybe you use the thing online to give, and you've already done that. But I believe that the Lord continues to speak. I believe that there is such a thing as sacrificing. I heard Gene give a testimony this morning about times of being where you didn't have hardly anything, but you still gave by faith. See, the Lord's going to continue to bless. He's going to continue to bless. So sacrificial giving, sacrificial tithing is so important to the church. It's not a, you know, every Sunday, okay, this is what I'm going to write my check out already because I already know what it is type thing. Sacrificial giving is giving beyond that. It's going beyond that. I know there's been times when Nanette and I have been gifted and blessed with extra money. There was a time, and I told some of you guys this, there was a time several years ago where we were gifted, and some of you may know Annie that was here. She's the daughter of one of the people that led me to Christ. And he gifted us, I mean, not a small sum, I'm talking a large sum of money, thousands. And we were like, I mean, I was like, what do I do with this? And so we prayed. We prayed. We came down, we visited them, and then we were going on to district assembly and all the conventions and stuff. It was during that time. And it was in the missions convention, I believe it was. They said that, you know, the Alaska district has paid their missions budget in full every year, no matter what. If we were short, it was gotten at the convention and we paid it in full. So this is what happened. We were shy quite a bit. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but it was quite a bit. And so where it comes time to pray, we got done praying. I looked over at Nanette and I said, you know, I believe I know what we're supposed to do with that money. And she goes, I do too. We need to give. And we gave every single penny of it because it was a gift. It was a gift. It didn't make any difference before, even if we got it, right? We gave. Then there's times when you don't have anything. I mean, we were living on a shoestring budget. I was going to college. I worked for the church. Nanette worked at Cars. We weren't making a whole lot of money, living in a single family home, 3-bedroom, 1-bath. What was it, 1,000 square feet? 1,000 square feet home. Still paying on the house payment. Barely scraping by. We still tithe. We still sacrifice. God continued to bless. He continued to bless. So I just want to leave you with that challenge today as we see what needs to happen in this next year. You know, the people of Judah, they understood that when Hezekiah asked for a portion of their goods, he meant the tithe, 10% of their produce. This tithe wasn't about making someone richer or improving the king's palace. It was about enabling the priests to dedicate themselves fully to God's work. It's kind of like a farmer with a bountiful harvest. He sets aside the first and best 10% as a gesture of gratitude and trust in God. The best. This act acknowledges that all he has comes from God and sustains the work of God's people. You see, the money that we go and get when we have an employment or we have a business or whatever, it's by God's blessings and his grace that we get that. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, he owns everything. He does not, you know, he wants us to be grateful, to show gratitude, but he also wants us to be humble. And I think sometimes when we have this job, well, I've worked really hard. I've went to school. I've gotten this college degree. How did you get that? If you say you did it by yourself, you're a fool. You are a fool because it's only by God's grace that you got that. It is only by God's grace that you made $30,000, $40,000 a year. It is only by God's grace that you have a home to live in. Yeah, it requires you to work. The Israelites worked. They produced food. They produced animals for the Lord. The way they paid for things, they swapped food for animals. And you see, when Hezekiah checked on the temple, he found heaps of offerings and he was amazed. He was amazed. The people had more than enough to meet their needs. And their generosity resulted in an overflow. That's exactly what happened on that missions day. We had an overflow of giving, and we gave above and beyond what was required. As the high priest said in 2 Chronicles 31:10, the Lord has blessed his people. And all this is left over. Consider this. Consider a rain barrel overflowing after a storm. The excess isn't wasted. It's used to nurture a thriving garden. I remember this when I lived in Kisilov. I had a garden there. And I had rain barrels out there. We didn't have running water. We had to go get our water in jugs and bring them. I had an outhouse that I used. We had a banya. If you know what a banya is, banya is a native type spa or sweat house or whatever you want to call it. We had a banya. And we had to haul the water in for that. But a lot of times we had rainwater. Buckets of it, buckets. And so that's how we would do things with the rainwater, watering our garden, taking baths, bathing ourselves in the banya. Did I do that? No. God did. God did. Of course, at the time, I didn't recognize that because I wasn't even following Christ then. But looking back on it now, I was blessed. I was blessed. Our giving to God works similarly, overflowing to bless others and ensure the church's mission continues. As we close, let's reflect on Hezekiah's legacy. He trusted God. He restored worship, and he led his people with integrity. So what about us? What about us? Are we willing to trust God as Hezekiah did? To contribute to the work of his kingdom? As a family in Christ, we must recognize that our giving isn't just a financial transaction. It's an act of worship, a declaration of trust in God's provision. Now, I challenge you this week to consider how you can participate in God's work. Is there a step that you need to take to trust him more deeply? Remember, our giving isn't about God's need to receive. It's about our need to give. Let us follow Hezekiah's example, investing in God's kingdom with joy and faithfulness. And together, we can be a beacon of light in our world. And before we end, I just want to also put this as a tagline. I know a lot of people always think, well, doesn't the church, and when they talk about the church, they're talking about the one that's out there somewhere else, I guess. You know, maybe the district, the Alaska District Church of the Nazarene, or even the general church. Don't they give you money? No. We're not the Catholic Church. Catholic Church works that way. They divvy out monies to the churches. We're supported by the church, by you. That's where the church is supported. That's where the church's mission is supported. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, reflecting on the legacy of King Hezekiah, a man who trusted in you and led his people back to worship and faithfulness. Thank you for the lessons we have learned from his life, a life of trust, transformation, and obedience to your call. And Lord, I just want to reflect here, Lord, on this team that we had here, Lord. Lord, in the sacrifice that they made from their own lives, Lord. And it wasn't just this team. It was the entire McConnellstown church that made sacrifices. Lord, and I just praise you, Father God. Lord, and ask that you would bless that church above and beyond. Thank you for their surrendered hearts, for their faithfulness, Lord, and for their sacrificial giving. Lord, and as we stand at the crossroads of our own journeys, help us to be like Hezekiah, unwavering in our faith and committed to your purposes. Give us the courage to trust you in all circumstances, knowing that you are our provider and our sustainer. Lord, we recognize that our giving is an act of worship and a testament to our trust in your provision. Open our hearts to give generously and joyfully. not out of obligation, but out of love and gratitude for all that you have done for us. May our contributions support the work of your kingdom and bring glory to your name. Help us to be mindful of the needs of our church community, just as Hezekiah was, and empower us to work together in unity, creating a symphony of praise that resonates in our world. May our collective efforts be like the overflowing rain that collects in the barrels, Lord, pouring out blessings that nurture and grow your mission. And as we go forth this week, challenge us to take a step of faith, trusting you more deeply and participating in your work with enthusiasm and dedication. Let us be a beacon of light, shining your love and grace into the world around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you, and just ask that this would be a fantastic and blessed week for all of you, and that the Lord would continue to walk with you and you with him. Amen.